You already know that Invisible Fence brand creates happier homes where pets can safely play in the yard out of danger. But did you know we also have products to help your pets avoid bad behaviors with trash cans, furniture, and unsafe areas both inside and out? We even offer a programmable pet door for more pet freedom. And expert installation plus professional pet training guarantee success. To schedule a free in-home consultation, visit InvisibleFence.com or call 1-800-578-3647.
Good morning!
Crib Live Radio presents the Morning Sports Report.
And this is my wake-up show. I'll be coming at you every morning. About this time, hoping to make your experience the best available in this price range.
An update and preview of everything going on in Pittsburgh sports. Now the Morning Sports Report. Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Of all the tragedies associated with last night's loss, Pirates to the Cubs, probably at the top of the list, guy, no trips to St. Louis with strange redheads kissing you on the cheek outside of Busch Stadium this year. You guys called it. Guy and Tim called it. As expected, Arrieta shuts the Pirates down. What, if anything, surprised you guys about the wild card loss last night?
Nothing surprised me aside from the lineup to begin the day. I don't think any of us called that. I'll take credit for telling Josh Taylor he should have been scared this whole time, and you for saying that the Billy Goat curse was not going to survive at least PNC Park. I'll take credit for that, but I mean, I was in the dark that Sean Rodriguez was even a possibility when Clint Hurdle dangled the carrot out there about how you can't outslug Jake Arrieta, you can't slug your way to victory against him. I simply thought that was a way of letting us know that Josh Harrison was going to play third instead of Aramis Ramirez. I never considered that it meant S-Rod starting at first base.
First of all, people complaining about that had so little to do with the outcome of the game. The game was Cole against Arrieta. Arrieta's on an historic run. As I said yesterday, the only way you're going to win the game is to match him. Cole was terrible. It was one of his worst starts ever. Didn't keep them in the game even for an inning, and that's why they lost. As it turns out, Pedro played and batted anyway. Rodriguez never even came to the plate. It had no effect on the game whatsoever. None.
You're right, Guy. It did not affect the outcome of the game aside from a hypothetical, which could have been, you know, if Pedro had gotten up earlier in the lineup, could he have
just could have struck
one
out four times.
Or maybe he would, maybe he would have come through an extra time and would have struck out a fourth. Who knows? But the problem that I had with it was after sitting there in front of the microphone the day before and telling us you shouldn't overcook a decision. Yeah. He overcooked a decision. It was charred and broiled. That's how overcooked that decision was by putting Esrod. He overthought it. And if it had been a closer game, a more competitive game, that's something that could have come back to bite him in the ass. You're right. Arrieta was 10 times better than Gerrit Cole was, so the game was in his hands. It was in the hands, unfortunately, of the Pirate pitcher. And that decision with the lineup really became irrelevant. I just didn't like the decision-making. And I said this to Ken. I said it on Twitter yesterday. If we're going to use the Golden State Warriors substitution pattern analogy here, that was the equivalent of the last guy on the Warriors bench getting into the game and starting Game 6 against the Cavs.
Well, the decision, and you're right, maybe it was overthought, but when you look at it, and we've talked about all these numbers ad nauseum for weeks leading up to this, that Arrieta, for even though he's right-handed, has tougher on left-handed batters, okay? So you put a righty in over a lefty. Look at Sean Rodriguez's batting average. It's almost 20 points higher against right-handed pitchers. Another, if it's not sabermetrics, it's another reason why that looks like Andy's a better fielder. So there's three mathematical reasons right there why that makes sense, even though nobody was willing to allow for that in the afternoon. And I was as surprised as everybody. And kind of, you know, I looked at the bottom three in that order. I thought there's three perfect innings that he already has before the game starts when he has the bottom of that lineup. Cole may have been the best hitter in the bottom three.
The irony that Sean Rodriguez can't scoop a ball that was, I know, charged with an error to Neil Walker, yeah, but their defense was poor in the first inning.
For a bad defensive team and for Hurdle to sit there on the day of the game behind the microphone and talk about how he's trying to give Gerrit Cole the best defense behind him, yet Andrew McCutchen pull up short on a ball on the first batter of the game. You had a bad throw from Neil Walker, a bad scoop from Sean Rodriguez, and Josh Harrison couldn't come up and apply a tag on a throw from Cervelli trying to get Fowler at second base.
All what about McCutcheon on the first hit of the game?
That's what I said. Pulled up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he pulled up on the sinking liner from Dexter Fowler. So he had four plays between four different guys in the span of the top of the first after we spent 162 games talking about their defense being questionable.
The McCutcheon play, I'm sure he was thinking, if I dive and this gets past me, it's a double, and we don't want to start this way, right? It's playing conservative. Maybe that's the right approach. I've never played center field the big leagues, guy. I don't know what you thought about that one. But Cole got behind 3-1 in the count. I mean, that's a terrible way to start the game. Fowler steals. And Schwarber, a great piece of hitting on a 2-2 pitch, goes the other way after Cole was pumping him inside with those sliders, and then he takes that fastball and just throws it the other way. I mean, that you get killed by their first two batters in their order out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, and the stolen base. I mean, I said in my 6 o'clock news report as a tagline after both pitchers, I played interviews from both pitchers, I said, watch for stolen bases tonight. Neither of these guys is any good at holding runners on. Neither team has a catcher that's particularly great at throwing guys out. They're among the bottom six in baseball and allowing stolen bases. And what's he do? You know, he gives up a single, and immediately they didn't hold him on there close enough. So they steal a base, and that's why they get the first run. Now, the ball that's hit the third base after that, I don't think you go for the double play with Arrieta pitching. You probably get one out, hold the runner at third and get one out, and who knows where the inning goes from there. I think that stolen base is as big as anything that happened in the first inning. You know, a lot of people, I was already thinking this game might be over at 1-0. You needed at least, you know, at least let that crowd get into the game a little bit, at least get feeling good about yourself for a couple of innings that you got a shot. Certainly when the home run was hit, I thought the game was over. I mean, it's ridiculous to say that with all their at-bats remaining, and they did have a chance to get to him. But you know what? I'm not even going to sit here and lament the Marte double play, because by all rights, McCutcheon should have hit into one. I mean, the guy goes out there. He's in a little bit of trouble. All right, he gets a ground ball to short. The shortstop boots it. All right, I'll get another one. And he gets another one.
True.
And talking about stolen bases, how about in the first inning when McCutcheon manages to scratch out a hit, a first-inning hit against Arrieta? Did he even think about going? Did Arrieta seem to sweat him at all at first base?
I don't think he had time. Marte was whiffing at three pitches that were out of the zone. That was a terrible at-bat by Marte. Marte was total mud yesterday at the plate. He killed them in the cleanup spot. That at-bat in the first was as bad as the one in the sixth. Maybe not because of the situation, but, you know, you got a runner on there, and that was awful. It was flat awful. His approach all game was awful.
Marte, yeah, that grounded a double play in the sixth really was the nail in the coffin. And the reason why is for the first time in a long time, we saw Arrieta get human. Even by his own admission afterwards, as he said, there was about a 25-pitch sequence where I just didn't have it. He was talking about sliders getting away from me. He said the ball felt slick.
Yeah.
He said that you know, he was fighting it, and he couldn't get the spin on his slider for about 25 pitches. And maybe that span would have been 30 to 35 if Marte didn't pull the ripcord on his behalf and grounded
Marte,
that
it's a
play.
Two-run single. If that's 2 feet further to the right or the left if you're the shortstop, I'm not sure how much longer he stays in.
Right, because then he did struggle again in the next inning. That's what he was talking about, a bridge the sixth into the seventh. And who knows, maybe at that point they get a little itchy in their dugout, and that infinity pitch count that Joe Maddon referenced afterwards becomes somewhat less than infinity.
What was the crowd like at that moment? 1-0 count to Marte. I mean, through the television.
The crowd was out of it after the bottom of the first inning until the sixth inning rally. It was a normal game. It was nothing special. And the Cubs fans could very easily be heard. They mostly were behind the Cubs dugout. I'm imagining most of them were, since the seats were behind the Cubs dugout, were people that were related to people on the team or got the tickets through the team. I don't know how many they were allotted, but they were loud enough to make some noise.
But in the sixth, as good as it was 2 years ago when they got the bases loaded?
Yeah, when they had the base loaded and Marte was up, that was deafening. And it went, I tweeted, it went from a deafening to a funeral parlor in one swing of the bat, and it did.
Like, well, Gary Sheffield, on TBS after the game, Gary Sheffield was talking about that at-bat from Marte, and he said, I'd rather strike out there if I'm in that situation, even though there's the bases loaded, there's one out and there's a guy on third, you've got to get the ball in the air, and you got to get that guy home, and the first pitch was a slider in the dirt, and he said that you knew how Arrieta was trying to get you out. He was going for the double play ball, and Marte's just got a point-blank period. He can't ground into a double. He cannot put the ball on the ground there. And he did, and that's the game.
What a shock. Gary Sheffield said he was rather over swing and strike out, huh? Wow.
Do you doubt that?
No, he's just an expert at it.
Yeah, he's just very good at it. Of all people to say that, it is appropriate that Gary Sheffield would endorse striking out and over swinging rather than putting a ball in play.
Well, he's not wrong in this particular instance, as I see it. And that was the – you talk about the Billy Goat curse. I thought for that was coming. Based on the air, based on the crowd, that was the moment that it looked like the Cubs could be the Cubs. And you're right, in one swing it was over.
Jake Arrieta is bigger than any curse, and Jake Arrieta, along with John Lester, will get that. Does the curse mean the entire season, or is it just getting to the World Series? Because I think this team's going to the World Series.
No, I mean, I guess technically the curse is they haven't been back to the World Series in 70
years.
Okay,
then the curse dies this year because they're going to the World Series.
You think so?
Yep, I think Arrieta is Bumgarner. I've been saying it for a month and a half now. Arrieta is definitely Bumgarner. He's going to do to the rest of the National League what he did to the Pirates and what Bumgarner did to the Pirates. He's going to get them to the World Series. They're going to get through St. Louis and whoever they play from the Mets-Dodgers series. Not only just because of him, but they also have Lester to rely on. They don't need to worry about their bullpen too terribly much. And, you know, this hitting combination of Schwarber and Fowler and Bryant, all these guys I think are figuring it out, and this team to me is very, very dangerous. They're kind of like that Penguin team that came into reality a year earlier than people expected. It's very reminiscent of that to me.
That's what Trevelli said after the game. He said, this team will go on to the World Series.
Wow.
I thought you said the Penguin analogy. I didn't. We all know Francisco Cervelli is a renowned hockey guy.
Well, I believe the Cardinals are ripe for the taking here, so that wouldn't shock me. However, they're only going to get Arrieta in Game 3. And if they want him in Game 5, it's on 2 days rest, which maybe if it's infinity, if the pitch counts infinity, they can do that. But Lester better be good, right? I mean, he's going to have to go to Busch and win Game 1, and we'll see what happens as far as Game 5 goes. You can email the show, sportstalk@tribweb.com. We're brought to you by Duffy's Beer. They present the Trib Live Radio Morning Show with Ken, Guy, and Tim. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER, and all their weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And by Invisible Fence Brand, free in-home consultation at invisiblefence.com. As far as Cole goes, Guy, you're not wrong. He was bad. It was one of his worst performances of the year. I hate to crush him today because he's a 19-game winner. I think he's going to be good for his whole career.
No, I'm not crushing him. He knows he sucked last night. He was behind in the count from the beginning of the game, and I kept thinking he's jacked up. He's overthrowing. He'll settle down here in a little bit, and he never did. There's no... You know, Tim tweeted out that I'd be harping on. He was the guy to start last night. I mean, Hap.
Oh, I was looking forward to this. I was ready for your Jay Hap monologue.
In fact, I sat there before the game and thought, I don't know that I've ever watched a Pirate baseball game in my life, or certainly a postseason game, where I had more confidence in the starting pitcher than I did there. I didn't have confidence that he could win the game, but I certainly had confidence that he could make it interesting and keep them in it for a while. He was 7-1 lifetime against the Cubs. A 3-0 lifetime against the Cubs at PNC Park. He had almost another perfect September. I mean, if anybody could match numbers, if you take away him getting hit around a little while for that 4 or 5 stretch start in August, his numbers would have been right there. He could have easily, he's a couple of wild pitches away from being the only other 20-game winner in the league. But he knows he didn't have a good game, and he didn't match. That was the big difference early on. Arrieta was ahead of every single batter. The Pirates were batting on, they were on their toes. They couldn't swing from their heels.
It was 0-2 every batter. It was unbelievable.
And he fell behind everybody in the Cubs lineup. I mean, those guys were getting the pitches they wanted to hit.
And Schwarber's home run, God, is still traveling. I mean, and he fouled off the one tough outside pitch and was just sitting on that slider that second time around. God, that he drilled that. 450
feet. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but after that home run, there was a police boat that started going back and forth up and down the Allegheny. I swear they were looking for bodies of passing boaters.
You see a chalk line in the water?
There's a little blue light on top of the police boat going around. They were on active duty looking for people that might have been struck by that homer. They should have gone across the river to Stanwix to see if anybody got hit there because that's how far that thing traveled. That home run was every bit as impressive as the bomb shot that Pedro hit to right center, a couple days ago.
I mean, Schwarber's good. We've seen that, but you got beat by a rookie. This is your ace.
Oh, you got beat by a team of rookies. They got five of them that figure in on their – and you had a playoff rookie on the mound.
True, although he's older than Garrett, right?
He never pitched in. I mean, Cole already pitched in an elimination game.
You had mentioned, Ken, how it was always 0-2 for Jake Arrieta throughout the course of the first three innings. I do want to point out how much of a buried story it is that Eric Gregg got reincarnated last night.
I don't know
how we're not talking about this. I mean, I had no idea that a dead umpire was going to come back and
sit behind home plate. You're not talking about balls on the borderline of the box or whatever you want to call it, the TV rectangle. You're talking about ones that were 6 inches off the plate, and he's calling them strikes on a guy that doesn't need any help to begin with.
You could have rewound the tape to 1997, and Levon Hernandez could have been watching that game saying, ooh, I don't know, I think he might have gotten a call there.
Horst Nelson, the band Nelson, or the home plate umpire Jeff Nelson, who was behind the dish last night.
You know, that was
maybe nobody remembers the band Nelson.
Randy Marsh, you know, from, as we mentioned yesterday, Randy Marsh from the 1992 Game 7, giving all that extra space to the hitter. You know, this was for the pitcher.
Really, there were two sequences. One was, you know, Pedro. Pedro should not have struck out on his second at bat, right? I mean, that was 3-2 pitch that was an outside curveball after Mercer went down. I thought, actually, Pedro had some, I know he struck out three times. He had better at-bats than the rest of the team. At least he got into 2- and 3-ball counts and worked them a little bit. And that was one of them, and he should have been on base there. And I forget what the situation – that would have been two on, right? Two on with two outs would have brought up the pitcher, and that would have been my guy Travis Snyder probably. Who knows?
I got to unfold my box score here. I'd blown my nose into it.
It's in the fifth after Civelli got hit by the pitch.
Yeah, Civelli got hit by
Walker
a pitch.
Walker flew out to left.
And then,
yes.
Should have been two on with one out.
Yeah.
No, well, it was Mercer first, then Pedro.
Oh, Mercer had already struck out. That's right. So,
but both got hooked. Outside. I mean, the pitch to Mercer was outside. That was where Nelson was the worst, you know.
If it was two on and two out there, I wonder if they would have batted for Cole.
I think Snyder was on deck anyway. I think he was. So, yes, they would have.
And why didn't they run for – why is Keon Broxton on your roster? You're down 4-0. Travis Snyder leads off with a single, and you let him run. What the hell are you carrying him on your playoff roster for? And he's not the only one. He's not
I thought they were holding him for the tying run. You know, let's wait till we get in the eighth or ninth.
Yeah.
Tying run.
Okay, pinch run next May.
Well, it didn't cost them. I mean, but you're right. Maybe that's something they should have done. But I guess he didn't stay in the game either, so it's not like he needed him to hang around.
Come on, guy. Ken needed at least a couple cutaways of Snyder on first base.
Hey, he and Morse delivered. You got to give those guys credit. Two of the four hits they had on the night.
Hey, who amongst us was saying, I believe it was me, that Clint Hurdle should have started Morse at first base and Snyder in left field? I think I was saying that all week long.
I don't think you were saying that all week long. I think you were saying Marte should hit cleanup, and he ruined the team. But then again, I said the Billy Goat curse would come back to haunt Chicago. Let's hear from Garrett Cole after last night's performance. I mean, is it fair to say Cole lost it? I mean, from here in the next couple years.
But you know what? The way it went, any pitcher would have lost it because they didn't score any runs. But he was the hope. He's who you needed. You had one chance to match the unhittable person. It was him. And so
Cole lost it, and so did nine hitters. You know, they all lost it.
There's Garrett after last night's performance at PNC.
After Tony hit Jake, looked like you were kind of front and center in that brawl out there. What was being said? Was that just emotion boiling over at that point?
Well, I actually didn't see the pitch, and you know, we went out there, and you know, I was just out there trying to get our guys off and just yelling at everybody to stay in the game, you know, just trying to defuse the situation.
Did you see Sean get grabbed? You said he got grabbed by the back.
Yeah, I guess Sean. Yeah, I guess he. You know, I think anybody can relate to the fact when you get your neck grabbed. You know, you kind of go into another gear, whether you want to or not. You know, but it's just the competitive, tense atmosphere that we have out there. You know, and you know he's fighting for our teammates. I think it turned out, you know, pretty much best case scenario. Nobody got thrown out of the game. Nobody got hurt. You know, that would be unfortunate to have a game tainted by you know, something that escalated even more. So there was just some shoving, and like I said, you know, I was in there saying, you know, trying to keep everybody in the game. I had a hand on Pedro, and you know, Hinsky was right in the middle there too, saying the same stuff. It's just intense out there. Sometimes it boils over.
Jared, how do you process this?
second straight year running into a guy in a historic run line.
I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, that's why we fought so hard to try to win this division. You know, because you really, truly never know what can happen in these games. You know, obviously, Bumgarner had a, you know, fantastic year last year. Jake's been on a roll. You know, looks like he's going to, all signs point to him continuing that role. You know, it's just, you know, it could have gone the other way, you know, but I mean, that's the, that's a little bit of the pitfall of this game, is that it's a one-game playoff, and that's unfortunate. I think we can walk away from this saying that we won 98 games, second-best record in baseball. You know, that takes – maybe it'll take the thing away from it in a week or so, but for right now it's still pretty – pretty much sucks.
Were you able to kind of disconnect from your start enough in the dugout as the team at times looked like it was about to mount a comeback this – feel like you guys are on the edge? Those double play balls just seem to take you out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you only get so many opportunities. I thought our guys did a fantastic job battling. I mean, we got in a couple of situations where we really put the ball in play hard. You know, Marte, probably the fastest guy on the team, the only time he can hit into a double play is if he absolutely scorches it right at somebody. And, you know, go figure, that's what happens in that situation.
Garrett Cole there talking about could have gone either way. Didn't feel that way. Felt in control the whole night after the game was 1-0 and then 3-0.
It was a carbon copy of last year. You know, as I wrote for Inside Pittsburgh Sports, they have become the hangover. They are the hangover trilogy. A very entertaining, enjoyable first rendition and then two sequels after that are exactly the same that make you feel like you didn't get your money's worth.
I like the hangover.
Well, no, first Hangover, you like the sequels?
Yeah, I like the sequel.
See, I felt like them chasing around Jake Arrieta and Madison Bumgarner was like the guys in the movie chasing the monkey through Thailand. You know, it's just, it was this endless escapade to try to catch what you couldn't catch, and that was Madison Bumgarner from one side and then Jake Arrieta from the other side.
Well, Herta was asked about the strike zone as well. That's cut to JT, and, you know, it didn't seem like he was making any excuses. Well, listen to what Hurdle had to say here.
You get feedback where they, you know, there's times they think balls are off the plate that are strikes. And, you know, then you make calls and try and find out. Somebody else is looking at them. I don't have time to go and watch the game. All in all, it didn't seem to be like there was anything to the game that was out of context as far as calls were getting made one-sided or anything like that, at least from the questioning I did. When you pitch around the plate, you got good stuff. More often than not, you're going to get more calls when you're throwing strikes and then you're delivering the ball to the edges and then moving it up and down the strike zone.
It's a shame Garrett wasn't closer to the strike zone. Given the Jeff Nelson strike zone, he probably could have been getting the same calls as Arrieta was, you know, in the fifth inning if he had been more in command of his pitches, right? I mean, because it was both ways. It was a bad strike zone all night.
What I found to be funny was on occasion when Arrieta was outside of the strike zone, and it was oftentimes when a right-handed hitter was at the batter's box, the Cub fans who were lining the dugout along the right field line, their reaction anytime anything was a ball. Oh, what are you looking at? You know, you would have thought it was a game at Wrigley, for crying out loud. Anytime there was a ball. Oh!
That's why I can't root for the Cubs. I cannot root for the Cubs just based on those fans.
Drop the puck.
Yeah, well, they did in Chicago last night, too, as they raised
lost.
The banner.
Yeah. Good. They raised the banner and lost the game.
They did boo Bettman lustily, so got to give him credit for that.
What are they doing? Patrick Kane had the puck.
I don't know. You can email the show, sportstalk@tribweb.com. Of course, love that your three takes from the game last night. What cost it? How you're feeling here? I mean, because it's not a deep run, this one doesn't feel anywhere close to the disappointment of like a 92 or, you know, when you're on the verge of the World Series. But I said it a couple weeks ago, Tim, you know, if they lose to the Cubs, it's going to be extremely disappointing. That is my feel this morning.
Well, it's the potential there. I mean, you know, I don't know how I felt about that team 2 years ago. I thought getting the Game 5 against the Cardinals was maybe about as much as you could expect out of them. And last year they won 88 games. I didn't think that was a team that was destined to get. I think this team could have won the World Series. I think they're good enough to compete in a series against any of the teams that were left, including the Cubs if they played a series, although they're really on a roll now. At some point they're going to have to cool off. I mean, that's 9 straight wins mostly under very trying circumstances. They were trying to nail down a spot. They were trying to nail down home field advantage. It's not like cruising at the end of the season, winning eight. But that's the disappointment. That this was a very good baseball team. It had its flaws, as all do nowadays. There aren't too many perfect ones, and you're robbed of the opportunity of getting to see them really compete in the postseason.
Tim, disappointment level?
Oh, I'm disappointed, yeah, but I didn't expect anything less. This is the exact game I expected. I thought it was going to be 4-1, 3-1. I said that yesterday, and I felt that way since it became pretty clear that they weren't going to catch the Cardinals. I thought this team was going to win the division at the start of the year. I thought they were good enough to hang with St. Louis throughout the season and into the playoffs. I never thought they'd get out of the National League. So, I don't know, Ken. I don't share that level of disappointment because, to me, disappointment also speaks to surprise. And I'm not surprised that it ended this way. And I guess I've gotten used to now in three straight years having the Pirates taken out by Wainwright, Bumgardner, and Arrieta.
Waka, too.
Well, who pitched Game 5, though? Wasn't it Wainwright?
Yeah, Wainwright did.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So Wainwright, despite Waka being...
That mentality has to end, though, if this team's going anywhere.
I don't know
that it
is.
That's the kind of pitchers you face in the postseason every
year. All in your park, right?
Yeah, but the problem is, in a series, you got the bullpen comes into... I mean, that bullpen was lights out again last night for the Pirates, but it was too late.
Good of a bullpen, third, fourth, and fifth
guys in the rotation matter. And, you know, they do not. This is another example, and I'm not going to cry about the disparity in finances today. But this is another example where you may to win a wild card game, maybe you have to have a $25 million pitcher.
Although Arrieta was a trade, you know. That's...
Well, yeah.
It was kind of a surprise.
Was Waka on his first contract? He was.
He was a young guy. Yeah, he was a rookie.
Of those guys, what was Bumgarner making before last year? I think of those guys, those four names that we just rattled off. I think Wainwright might have been the only one that was breaking the bank, right? And by the way, Ken, that was in St. Louis, the Game 5 there. But
Waka was here. A chance to clinch at home in Game 4 against Waka.
Yeah,
and
Waka
he shut your ass
game
down.
Four. You know, the thing of it is, and one thing I wanted to point out is, for as much as we talk about how great their pitching has been through this three-year run, and it is definitely the best staff they have accumulated. When I say best staff, and I say they, I mean the franchise. It's the best staff that they have accumulated. I'm talking compared to...
The staff doesn't win one game, you know?
Yeah, I'm talking compared to the 90s teams. I'm talking compared to the 71 era and the 79 era. We went through all the numbers a couple weeks ago and comparing the eras of the great Pirate teams. This is the best staff they've ever had, but in every case, they have had the lesser pitcher in the deciding game. Gerrit Cole to Adam Wainwright. Gerrit Cole to Jake Arrieta.
Well, I said in the middle of last summer, Ken, you'll recall, that this team is built for the marathon, not for the sprint. Overall, they are going to win 4 out of 5, 7 out of 10, 6 in a row, and that's been proven for 3 straight years, even parts of the years with the collapses. But to throw one super stud out there, they don't have that to do. Cole was the closest thing they had, and he peed the bed.
Right. But the offense in those home games, they had one hit off Michael Waka and Rosenthal closed it out in that
Morton
game four.
Morton almost matched him pitch for pitch.
I know.
I mean, I've watched this team face four 20-game winners in the World Series and beat them. I don't want to hear whining because we had to face another great Cy Young pitcher here. That's what you have in the postseason. So put together a team that can beat one. Or shut up.
No, Guy, I'm
but is
not
that
whining.
Offense or is
no,
that
I'm not
pitching?
Saying you're whining. I'm talking about just mean everybody in general.
No, and I'm not saying that that they have
it's
bad,
either.
Yeah,
it's,
that they're bad luck or they're going through bad luck by facing these guys. You know, we talk about how great their pitchers are, but their pitchers haven't been as good as the other team's pitcher when it really
one
mattered.
One-on-one, no. As a group, they're just as good, if not better. I mean, you know, this team, ERA, everything about this team is second.
Okay,
about them is second. Over the last 3 years, they got the best record in baseball over 3 years next to the Cardinals. They had the best record in baseball this year next to the Cardinals. Almost all year, they had the best major league ERA as a team next to the Cardinals. You know, they're great, but they're not great enough. And the other thing we didn't have back in the day when I talked about facing four 20-game winners, you had a series. you had a week to figure out a way to beat somebody. It's not 3 hours. True. That will always be a crapshoot, even if the Pirates had the $25 million arm out there.
Ed in Delaware. Delaware Ed opens it up this morning on the mailbag, sportstalkatribweb.com, brought to you by Duffy's Beer and Invisible Fence Brand. No sour grapes for me, guys, toward the Pirates. Two double plays in those innings were wickedly hit balls that went right at Cubs, a foot either way. I do have an axe to grind with baseball, though. The lore of the wild card game is over for me, Ed writes. I'll never be excited again to follow the Pirates if they only have a slim chance, hope of a wild card play to advance. It's a sham. Granted, it nets MLB money, but it's a false impression of playoff possibility during the regular season for many teams. They're suckering fans to keep following what is a lost cause.
Well, you're probably not going to be that interested in it because I don't see how they can compete for a division title next year when the Cardinals are healthy and the Cubs are coming back with a team that will be better than this one. I think their window of opportunity, I'm not saying it's closed, but if you expect them to go to the playoffs for a fourth straight year, I do not, regardless of what moves they make.
I don't know how they make up the losses that they will have. I know that we should have faith in Neil Huntington because he's made a lot of good moves as general manager, but I don't know how you patch over the loss, likely, of Alvarez, Walker, Jung Ho Gung to start the year, and J-Hap, unless you dramatically divert from what has been your game plan, which is to cook as long as you can your young starting pitchers and also not spend a lot of money on the free agent market or acquire big-time contracts.
Maybe Tyone or Kingham comes up and becomes a superstar. Maybe they become Cole-like, and then you got two guys winning 19 games. And, you know, I mean, it could happen. And Tim's right. I mean, we sat here, oh, my God, how do they replace Russell Martin? Oh, my God, how do they replace, you know, I mean, last year at this time, you're looking at on this exact day, the day after the game, you're like, what the hell is this rotation going to look like? It looked like Liriano was leaving. You didn't know that you were going to get Burnett back. I mean, it looked like the rotation would fall apart for this year, and they figured out a way.
Hurdle was asked again yesterday postgame, I believe, about the wild card format. And while he was defending the division winner, you know, it would be unfair to let them wait. I think he did it again after the game. Here's what Hurdle had to say.
Well, there's been discussion that's already been had that my general manager, Neil Huntington, has shared with me. The hardest part of this is to push back and punish division winners by making them wait to play longer on teams that have won the division. If you play a three-game playoff, you're pushing it back two more days, maybe more than that if there's a day off. I think there'll be conversation about it. We all know the rules going in. This is an outlier season for sure. Where you have three teams with the best records in one division. You know, there was two teams in the wild card in 13. So it's a challenge of the game. It's a challenge of sport. You know, I think there'll be more conversation over the winter. I don't have any fixes for it right now.
There's merit to the point about it being an outlier season. As we discussed with the Astros and Yankees, there's not a lot of people clamoring right now for that to be a best 2 out of 3 series. You know, I think people got what they needed to see in that one. Now the point
if the Cubs would have lost last night, they'd be all kind of clamoring for it.
What you were saying before, though, at least the emailer was saying, Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's complaining about the money. Like this is a money grab for Major League Baseball to have the wild card.
Yes.
Wouldn't they make more money if it was a 2 out of 3?
Well, I think he's saying they just shouldn't have two wild card teams. Seems to be his point.
They don't. He doesn't
go back to the old format instead of giving a second team in. I mean.
So go back. Hold on. So go back to the old formats. The Pirates wouldn't be in the playoffs at all then.
No, just you take one wild card instead of two and have a wild card
that
game.
That format, whatever format fits the Pirates.
Well, no, I think that format would give everybody a series. I mean, that's at least gave everybody more than one game. This second wild card has made the end of the regular season more interesting, but at the cost of the two teams that make it, giving them a coin flip game in the postseason.
Yeah, and that same email then would come into the effect, the first time the Pirates ever won the division. What's the big difference then? We worked so hard to win the division. We won the division by 6 games, and it turns into the same thing as winning the wild card. You morph whatever argument is out there to make it fit your narrative for your team. And I don't know. It's bad luck. It's unfortunate. I think that the rules should change. I think you can make a 2 out of 3 happen. I think that's the best solution. I do think that you need to separate a bit the difference between winning your division and being a wild card. That was becoming way too narrow of a difference in Major League Baseball. So, and I also think that they need a reseed. I think reseeding is important.
Mike S. emailed the show. Whether they won or lost last night, guys, I thought Hurdle should have been fired for starting S-Rod. I didn't think he was dumb enough to do this. In the playoffs, they face great pitching, but it's inexcusable to have 8 hits and no runs in their last 2 playoff games. I don't trust Hurdle. He might have gotten the Pirates as far as he can. Sean Rod was so pissed because he knew it was the dumbest idea. He had to punch the water jug during the game.
Ow. Yeah, right.
Did you see the meme?
God, the water jug.
The meme that's going around of the water jug being airlifted to the hospital. I saw that was my favorite one. My second favorite one was the scene from Rocky III where Rocky is in the ring and he's holding a dead Apollo Creed and somebody superimposed the water jug on Apollo's face.
Yeah, there's some good ones. The water jug is on Twitter now, at Pirates Cooler. That's a
at Pirates must, Cooler? Is that what it
Pirates
is?
At Pirates Cooler, yeah.
I was looking for it earlier. I couldn't find it. Can we play, speaking of that, the pregame decision? Can you do this Hurdle pre-one, Josh, here, where he explains why it was S-Rod?
Clint, did Alvarez expect to start, and how would you categorize whenever you delivered the news to him that he wasn't going to?
I don't know that. That would be a question for Pedro. And as I've done with Pedro or anybody else, when I've made a decision along this ilk, I call him in the office and I tell him. I look him in the face and I tell him respectfully what my thoughts were. We're trying to win one game to move on. And that's what I told the men involved. We're trying to win one game to move on. Having that opportunity to move on, the volume of opportunities for everybody would change.
With Pedro and Aram both on the bench for this game, how does that affect what you plan to do offensively when you attack Arrieta?
I think it's great that you guys are going to be here and watch the game and see how we go about it. I do think that we want to try and be athletic. As I said before, I mean, I'm sure you guys looked into some numbers. We don't have a lot of good hard numbers. Those two men in particular have had some challenges against this guy. So you want to hope on guys getting hits and then hoping that maybe not a lot of balls are hit to them. I mean, all depends on how you want to look at it. So, as I said yesterday, we're going to try and be athletic, try and get some people that can do some different things.
Again, as he said yesterday or 2 days ago now, don't overcook decisions. And I think this was overcooked. You know why? Because he never tried it from what was it, July 24th on. Isn't that the last time that S-Rod started at first? I think it's the only time they had this lineup was something like July 24th was the last time they put together that lineup.
Ultimately, though, it had nothing to do with the game. I don't believe.
True.
It.
No,
and Gerrit Cole also said, remember what Gerrit Cole said when he spoke before the game? He said, I think Pedro is fine over there, and I like that he hits homers when I pitch. I didn't yesterday, but the pitcher himself wanted to see Pedro in there, and that's another problem I had with it. You know how Hurdle is. You know how I came into the press conference room yesterday. Who won the lineup pool? Oh, you? You? I guess you're the only other two that watched the other 162 games just like me. Oh, come on. You know, it's...
Well, I wonder how it affects Pedro going forward, if they have any relationship at all.
I don't think they do. I think he's gone. I think Walker's gone. Maybe we'll hear from Walker later, but I think Walker thinks he's gone. Hap's probably gone. Jung Ho's not coming back until June. It's going to be a rocky start.
Are we sure on the Jung Ho? I mean, I know he was still in the wheelchair last night. Probably got the biggest round of applause. But
next to Pedro, who hasn't been applauded that loudly since his Major League debut, there were a couple boos for Sean Rodriguez when his name got introduced.
Well, that was the big talk before the game. I didn't like it either. I can understand your fear of Pedro having an error. I mean, I think everybody can that's watched this season. But to go Rodriguez, that was off the rails. You're right, Tim. I mean, you can't say it any better. It's just it's not anything they've done in the regular season. I guess Hurdle would say it's a different season, so you can't compare the two. It's what he emphasized there, right? We're trying to win one game. And if I would have been curious to see what would have happened the other way. If it was a scoreless game and S-Rod was striking out and Pedro was stewing on the bench, because guys, right, in the end, they got him out of there. He stuck to his philosophy, right? Once they trailed, they went offense.
Right, and I understand what he's saying is that you're trying to avoid the likely issue of Pedro or Aramis Ramirez making an error and at the same time not getting a lot of hits because of past precedent. Okay,
right.
So I understand that. Now, What you're also kind of doing, though, is you're catering to the least likely scenario, which is you having a lead going into the later innings. And if you do, then, you know, or you're trying to get to the point where if you keep it close into the later innings, you have Pedro and Aram coming off the bench to pinch hit and give you a lead, and then what? You've got your lead, but now you've got your bad defensive players still in the field. And you can't do anything about it because you removed Estrada from the equation.
Back to Mike's email, though, regarding Hurdle's job status. I mean, the guy's won 94, 88, and 98 games the last 3 years.
Oh, he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
Nor should he.
Nor should he.
It was July 25th, as it turns out, was the last time they did that lineup.
July 25th.
We forgot Jim Tracy and John Russell and the rest of the group.
Right. I don't think managers in baseball matter that much, but we have seen the bad ones here, and there is a...
I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, not as much as an NFL coach, to put it that way.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Really? You think they're that important?
Maybe not
more
as much
so
as
than
an NFL
coach?
Coordinator.
I'm not saying more so,
but if they matter, especially in the National League.
I mean, it's a lot of it's talent. I'm not saying there's no manager, but we have seen Hurdle and his relationship with the players. I think that is a good one. I mean, it sounds like he's had some bad moments there in Colorado with other guys that didn't like him.
Well, this is it, though. He's getting to that point where that stuff is going to start to manifest, right? And now it's getting to the point where Neil Walker has been rubbed raw by a franchise he never thought he would leave.
I don't think that's Hurdle's fault.
Well, you don't think? Sure, it is. It's partially his. He wasn't playing him. It wasn't just his contract status with Huntington. He was getting benched. He was getting moved around for guys like Pedro Florimond to get starts, and J.A. got a contract that superseded his. And once he got healthy, he was playing at second base a little bit. Jung Ho got brought in the first place, and he was getting time. So it wasn't just Neil Huntington. It was also how those guys were used in the lineup every day by Clint Hurdle. So
could be. If Hurdle was in love with Neil Walker, would he go to management and stump for him to stay? Would this be less of an obvious that Neil's gone?
He might, but it doesn't mean it'll happen. And part of the reason he's playing these guys is because he knew Walker was leaving, not that he was, you know. So he's already experimenting with his future rather than trying to cause the decision to be made.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just him. It's Pedro, as we pointed out before. You know, the playing time issues there. I don't know. We'll see what happens when the bullpen gets restacked after arbitration. Is everybody happy in their role there? If not, how does he massage that?
Hey, there's no guarantee Melanson comes back. You lead the major leagues in saves.
He's slated to make.
They may not pay that arbitration figure.
So he's about to make $10 million. I think $10.1 million is what they projected for Melanson.
Man, he's worth it per baseball standards. In Pirates dollars, he's probably not. I don't think they pay bullpen guys that much, but who's their closer if he goes? That's the crime of this year. This is as good of a bullpen as you have assembled, maybe ever. I don't know. I mean, in the modern era of baseball and the use of the bullpen, they are so good right now. And it's Watson and Melanson, really, they're the two keys. I mean, could you make Watson your closer for a year and just try to assort the 7th and 8th inning guys behind him?
I don't know. I don't know if Watson's a closer or not.
He's pretty good.
I didn't know if Melanson was a closer either, and I didn't know if Grilly was a closer. You know, I guess you're right. A lot of these guys who are 8th inning guys can get elevated and do the job. I thought it was hilarious how Joaquin Soria had his best outing as a Pirate yesterday.
Oh,
struck out the side, looked great doing it.
That's a moneymaker.
That was the equivalent of Josh Scobie making a 56-yard field goal in a 45-3 loss.
Well, through the heart of the order, too, and I wondered why Watson came in the 7th because of that, to face the bottom of the order. I guess it was, you know, there was a lefty there in Montero that he started, or did Hurdle really just want him to plunk Arrieta? Like, they didn't want Soria to do it, they wanted Tony Watson to do it. And they knew darn well when the third batter of the order came up.
They're probably afraid if Soria came in, there wouldn't be two outs with nobody on.
You might be right, actually.
Yeah, I know. That was the perfect
scenario. Which is kind of ridiculous. I mean, what do we think about the beaning? It was a Max Talbot Carcillo-esque moment.
I had a couple tweets to that exact effect yesterday.
Did you talk to Watson afterwards?
I did.
There's no doubt in my mind that was on purpose. None.
I don't think there's doubt in anybody's mind.
I don't know. Did he even deny? I got over there late. Did he deny it?
We have some Watson here. Let's hear from Tony from after the game. It's been only about a minute long, and listen in.
Yeah, I mean, but tensions are high and everybody wants to win, so you know, that's their guy, and you know, they got their back. I mean, everybody's got everybody's back in these situations.
You didn't, I heard you saying the area didn't say anything to you. It was just, you know.
No, yeah, nothing to me. It was all other people and just trying to keep Servi in the game.
He was back on this season. How would you, you know, put it into perspective? I know the game just ended, season just came to an end, but just, you know, 98 wins and the way it went.
Yeah, 98 wins, special season. Special division, obviously. Some three quality teams. Two of them are advancing, and that's tough right now. You know, to kind of put it in words, but, you know, we'll look back, you know, once the offseason gets going and realize how special this year was.
Once you got on, were you expecting a steal after that?
No, I was trying to just execute pitches and get Fowler out. Jake's a great athlete, though, and, you know, took advantage of it.
When he stole the base, did you guys notice that I did? I believe he had both middle fingers extended as he came into second base.
Like the guys in that bar, the DraftKings bar they kept showing during the TBS game. And they were getting double birded.
Yeah, and then they stayed with the shot. Who's directing that?
TBS was terrible, all in all. I kind of like their pregame guys, but...
How did Sam Ryan do? That's all I care about.
She looked fine. No plunging dress, though. No Ronda Rousey dress.
I'm not sure if you guys have noticed, but Jessica Mendoza has already been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, has she?
Yes, yeah. I mean, if you watch Richard Sandomir's article yesterday, she's the greatest baseball analyst that's ever lived.
Well, most Pirate fans won't be hearing her the rest of the way. I get a feeling they'll be not tuning in for any baseball coverage from here on out. I shouldn't say that. Maybe folks will watch. But, you know, you heard Watson there, guys, say everybody's got everybody's back.
Well, I was there. I mean, I was there for the interview. That's why I said there's no doubt in my mind that he's...
Did you like that? Was it... Do you approve of the code
absolutely.
Red?
Absolutely. Bay, look, I don't believe Arrieta that neither one of those had a message. They were too high and at the head. That's what bothers me.
The Cervelli one.
He's low all night, but he almost hits Cervelli in the head, and he hits Harrison up in the upper shoulder. And there's still the Zhang Ho Gong festering, hanging over everything. You know, some of those jagoffs are over there clapping when they brought him out in the wheelchair, applauding for him. Screw you. The day after you're making fun of him, your asshole manager's talking about plantar fasciitis. Now we'll give a polite round of applause. Get the hell out of here.
I thought there was intent to the Cervelli one. I agree with Hurdle here. I thought there was intent to the Cervelli one. I couldn't find anybody who really thought the second one was intended to hit him, but
the Harrison one was a curveball. Yeah,
no, it was a slider. He said it was a slider. Okay.
They're high. His control was good the whole rest of the night. He didn't walk a batter, but suddenly the ball was slippery.
Well, keep in mind though, guy, that Harrison one did come in that stretch where he started to lose it, and the sliders were all out of the zone. He was low, he was high, he was all over the place.
Well, if it was scoreless at that point, I don't think he would have lost it.
If
one was intentional, then I think both were intentional.
As far as, you know, hitting the pitcher and not another player on the team, that seemed to be Pedro Martinez's beef after the game. Like, I'm going to get you. It's fine. I'm going to keep it in my memory banks, and I'm coming after Tony Watson next year for hitting me.
That's a bold statement from a guy who pitched his entire career practically in the American League.
Well, true. And Tony Watson won't bat either, so that's part of the equation here. I don't know. But, like, should he have hit Rizzo instead of Arrieta? But it was more effective to hit Arrieta. It almost worked.
Hey, what if he, you know, I wish it would have been about 4 inches higher and hit him on the elbow, even though it's his left elbow.
Yeah,
what if you knock him out of the game there and they rally for a couple of runs? Is that worth it? Is that dirty?
This is why one of those freaking baseball etiquette, beanball war, back and forth dialogues, this is why these get so stupid. If part of the reason why the American League shouldn't have the DH is for reasons like this, why is Pedro advancing throw at somebody else? This is the exact reason why the National League is better in that context when it comes to pitchers having to stand up for themselves. If you're a good enough pitcher to get into the seventh and you've hit a couple guys along the way, then be ready to take it.
Which, to Arrieta's credit, if you want to give him credit, after the game he was pretty classy and said, I expected it. They're protecting their guys, although I know a lot of fans thought, well, why did you stand there and stare down Watson then in the moment?
Yeah, I don't believe that part of it. He gave himself a little bit too much credit by the end there when he said, I expected it, and I didn't say anything. What was he talking about? He's looking right at Watson, and he was saying something.
Well, Watson said he didn't say anything to him. I don't know.
Who was he looking at then? I mean, there was nobody else to look at.
Right. Matt emailed the show. Matt says, player of the night was Tony Watson. He eyes for that hit of Arrieta. Arrieta should have had the integrity and walked away. Pirates screwed up their best chance to do damage in the playoffs. They can only blame themselves. I'm not sure they will make the playoffs next year. The Cubs will get better, and the Cardinals are the Cardinals, and they won't win the division unless they make some big moves. Bring on wild card game number 4 so Hurdle can start Jeff Locke and Pedro Florimon next year.
Speaking of hitting guys, how do you think this National League Divisional Series is going to go between these two? After the whole, what was it, Frontier Justice or Vigilante Justice comment from Joe Maddon?
That's going to be a great series.
Oh, this is nothing. This is just kind of starting things out here for the Cubs. They're going to see 5 games of this crap.
Can you root against both teams at the same time? I mean.
Well, I think the Pirates-Cardinals has had a healthier respect. You may hate them because they're always better. But I think the Cubs have become the Reds of a couple years ago with the beanballs and the injured players and the snarky comments. So I think the Cubs are going to win it, but I hope the Cardinals do.
I'm of the school of thought, like Hurdle put out there a couple days ago when it came to Madison Bumgarner. I'm just glad everybody else got what we got. And I would prefer to see Arrieta continue to mow everybody down, at least know in the back of my head that they got beaten by the best. As we said before, Walken, Wainwright back-to-back to close out that series, then Bumgarner, then him. At least I can rationalize that if they don't go beyond the wild card again for another 20 years, it was because they ran into greatness. And they did right with the Braves, too, for that matter, with Smoltz. Maybe not so much Avery, but at least for that series anyway, Avery and Glavin.
Pain, that's always going to happen, though, right? I mean, you're always going to face the best pitchers in the postseason. There's just no getting around it.
No, absolutely.
Unless your pitcher is better, and that's where the disappointment comes in with Cole. And I know we're going to talk about this at great length with Rob Rossi, because that was one of the things he wrote about, was that Cole was just not good enough. And maybe someday he will be, but he was the second-best pitcher to Wainwright 2 years ago. He was the second-best pitcher to Arrieta yesterday.
Morning Sports Report with Tim Benz, Guy Junker, Ken Laird on Trib Live Radio, brought to you by Invisible Fence Brand. They've helped over 2 million pets enjoy more freedom in their yard so owners can relax and not worry about them running away. Schedule a free in-home visit today at InvisibleFence.com.
What does this do to that narrative from last year, by the way, on that front when it comes to Cole? Well, they just saved Cole for the wild card game. If they didn't try to save him, then we would have hung with Bumgarner longer. Really? Maybe his brother-in-law would have hit a grand slam off of him, too.
It's tough. He's lost 2 clinching games for them in the last 3 years. He did, I mean, give him some credit, I guess, for sticking in there. And although he gave up the home run to Fowler, that's not exactly sticking in there. It was another moonshot. What was that on, a 2-2 pitch? I forget what he threw there.
Well, he talked about how much the freeze home run haunted him from game 5 2 years ago. How much is this going to haunt him now?
True.
Did you hear the crowd reaction, Guy, when Schwarber hit that homer? He throws the pitch, you just hear this unbelievable crack of the bat like it was the freaking natural or something like that.
Wow,
and
what
the
shot.
The crowd simultaneously went, oh. Oh.
Oh, man.
As
that's
it
a haunting
soared
one
over the Clemente wall. And TBS, they just not have it backlit or anything?
Like, poor coverage, yeah.
I wanted to know how far into the river that went.
Yeah, how far? Where did it land? I mean, terrible coverage.
Well, they cover 3 baseball games a year. I mean, they jump in or in the playoffs and
should have gotten
Ernie Johnson's their basketball play-by-play guy.
Should have gotten Charles Barkley's thoughts on the matter.
Are you sure? Really should. Bart says, I disagree with the guy. I think Hurdle killed the team's confidence and Cole's confidence with the jackass lineup that started the game.
Oh, God. If they're that fragile, they never would have won 98 games.
Bart says, also, keep in mind, Alvarez is now in the 8 hole. After 2 innings, you get pitched to differently with the pitcher behind you.
Same Alvarez that everybody wanted run out of town on a rail in August, and now he's Babe Ruth.
I thought he had good at-bats. Am I crazy?
No, he struck out 3 times. They're not good at-bats if you strike out 3 times.
Well, the ump hooked him on one of them.
I take that back. I take that back. You can have a good at-bat and strike out.
Killer Chihuahua emails. Always entertaining to listen to Pittsburgh fans bitch when teams lose. The manager or coach is always a main target. Second guess everything the manager did last night. But the Pirates' fate was set in motion a long time ago. It was clear they weren't going to win the division. Going forward, Nutting's Bucks will continue to be a bottom-tier payroll in baseball. Doubtful they'll improve enough to top the Cubs and Cardinals. Let's go, Pens. Yeah, it's just as expected. I mean, I think the regret
won't
will
improve
be
enough to top the Rangers or the Islanders. Let's
not go there
Steelers
yet.
Let's go Steelers who won't improve enough to.
Oh,
As Fowler was hitting the home run to make it 4-0 as it was landing in center field, I sent the tweet out. So, about those Penguin line combinations.
So, about Derek Pouliot not making the team.
Speaking of Twitter, and if we're going to relate this to other sports, I got to credit Mark Caboli. That was a hilarious idea he came up with on Twitter last night. Did you see that?
He was tweeting things that would you would tweet if it was a football game.
Hashtag but... tweets if it was a Steelers game. And so, I had to chime in when he, when he said... Hurdle only wins with John Russell's guys. So I had to put hashtag this never would have happened if Tracy was here. Because it was always, for how many years was it, this never would have happened if Cowher was here.
What was John Russell's record when leading after three quarters? Was it 108-1?
What else did I tweet out there? Oh, I hate Hurdle's clock management.
Sean emails.
Searage's play calling sucks.
Sean says, from this point going forward, this Pirates team won't be better than the third best team in the division. Their chance now is to finish with the fifth best record and hope they can somehow beat fifth best record in the National League and hope they can somehow beat whoever finishes second between the Cubs and Cards. That's why last night was so important. And he says, from the moment Kutch pulled up on the first hit of the game, it seemed like they were in no chance to win mode. Paul emails.
You know, I look at the National League, and this is really broad-based here, broad-brushed. But as we've talked about, a lot of us think that the Cubs are going to be even better next year or just as good. The Cardinals, they're going to be – they can't be as injured as they were this year. Wainwright maybe comes back, and they're probably going to be just as good or close to it. So you've got those two teams. The Mets, they'll probably be better. You look at like if the Nationals get a decent manager in there. Maybe next year they coalesce as opposed to this year. It's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be really hard to. I don't see them winning the division, and it's going to be hard to even coax themselves into the second wild card, let alone hosting for a fourth year in a row.
Well, Ben says the other way. No guarantee the Cubs will win 96. What happens when Arrieta becomes Oriole Arrieta and rookies have sophomore slumps? Question mark.
Or he gets suspended for juicing.
Right, exactly. That shiny stuff on his arm, I think, was the leftover clear that Brady Anderson didn't use when he was trading him, or training him, rather.
The stuff that Barry didn't know was
right.
What it was. Thought it was flaxseed oil.
Yeah.
Paul emails. Cole's not a real ace, guys. Rossi said it. Not yet, at least. Last two playoff games at PNC, they've scored 0 runs, too. Hurdle was good for some things. He's done a decent job with okay players, but my Little League team fielded and ran the bases better than these guys. Something major should happen, but it won't. It's the Pirates, and it's Pittsburgh. We seem we're okay with mediocrity anymore.
That's the good thing about the way these wild card games have gone. If you never get on base, you can't screw up the base running.
They got on base last night, though.
Where? I mean, like... I mean,
in the fifth and sixth.
Inconsequentially, they did.
Yeah, so no base-running blunders last night. Except the guy wanted Broxton to pinch run. Vicky in Cali says, yet another playoff loss at home against the division foe with no scoring. It appears the three major Pittsburgh teams have all the same disease. Steelers scored some. They just fumbled it away with Ben Tate and company last year. But, yeah, Penguins can't score and the Pirates can't score. Justin M. email. If S-Rod was going to play all along, why didn't Hurdle have him playing more than he was in the regular season or down the stretch? Pedro should have started to me. I'm not sure if Sean was charged with the error, but he could have been. That was a Little League scoop that he mangled. Also, I did think Kutch dogged it on the first hit of the game. He could have easily caught that ball.
I thought there's dogging it. He just misplayed it.
Yeah, or unwilling to take a chance that early in the game to dive at it or lay out for it. I mean, if he dives and misses and it goes to the wall and it's a triple, that's pretty tragic, too.
I love the tweet. They're just showing it again. They're showing S-Rod punching out the cooler. I love the tweet I got from the guys. Boy, was that stupid. Don't you need your hands to play baseball? Well, Pedro got through a whole year at first base, so I guess not.
Huh. That was pretty stupid. I mean,
I just, you know, you want to punch the water
so
cooler.
Dumb.
Yeah, you do what Jung Ho Gung did. You just smack the gum and have it fly all over the place. You turn it into a speed bag. I mean, you're trying to do it for effect at that point. You want to punch it once. After that, the douche meter goes up.
Yeah. Is he back next year? You think they appreciate Sean Rodriguez in his game?
Do you think Clint Hurdle appreciates Sean Rodriguez?
Well, I guess he's starting him.
I think he appreciates him a little too much.